Laura Ingram here. I'll see you this morning at 9 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right. Great catching up with our friend, Lieutenant Brian Suits. Talk Radio 570 KVI. Let us get back to the phones, ladies and gentlemen. The Republicans have seemed to have coalesced around a strategy to pass a budget and defund Obamacare. Obama has responded by saying that he's not going to be the victim of what he calls extortion and no fight over the debt ceiling. And with that as our backdrop, let us go to Christopher Vance. Chris Vance is the former chairman of the Washington State Republican Party, former legislator, county councilman. He's also the co-chair of the Washington chapter of Fix the Debt, which is a bipartisan group that is trying to bring down the national debt. By the way, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, John.
Did you hear what the president said this morning?
I think so. Got up and read the internet.
So there's no connection between raising the debt ceiling and raising the debt.
Yeah, and it's that kind of nutty thinking in Washington, D.C. that leads us to a point where we're nearly $17 trillion in debt, and our debt is about 75% of our economy right now.
So what is Fix the Debt fixing to do about it?
Fix the Debt is a campaign that was created to promote the ideas behind the Simpson-Bowles bipartisan report that came out a few years ago on, you know, creating a balanced solution around a so-called grand bargain to fix entitlements, reform the tax code, control spending, yes, probably raise some extra revenue, a realistic plan that could actually get support from Republicans and Democrats and pass. And we keep yelling and screaming at members of Congress saying, stop putting duct tape on the problem and sit down and negotiate like grown-ups and actually solve it.
All right. Now, if it were to be solved the way you want it solved, what would change?
Well, the debt would come down dramatically. The economy would grow for two reasons, because business leaders are hesitant to hire and invest when they don't know what kind of fiscal policy is coming out of Washington, D.C. And, John, one of the biggest things that Fix the Debt supports is something the Republicans want very badly, which is pro-growth tax reform. Lower the tax rates. We have one of the highest tax rates on corporations in the world. Lower tax rates, but do away with a lot of the deductions and spread out the base. You give a tax cut to most businesses and most people, but you create growth and jobs. So bringing down the debt is not just the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do for the economy.
Okay, but Barack Obama has made it clear that he does want to close loopholes, but he wants to close loopholes to generate more revenue to spend. He doesn't want to close loopholes in exchange for lower rates.
Right. The president supports part of tax reform, which is closing loopholes, but he doesn't want to lower rates. So,
but that's not tax reform. That's a tax hike.
I agree, and so does Fix the Debt. I mean, we are supporting the bills. There are some bipartisan bills going through the House and Senate. Congress might actually pass tax reform this year, and we are urging them to do so. It's one part of a very smart solution.
So if you were giving strategic advice to the Republicans in the House on the budget and Obamacare, what would you be telling them to do?
Well, I think that they are doing the country a service by using the fiscal speed bumps you got in front of you, the need to pass a continuing resolution or the government shuts down. You know, we are like 12 days away from another possible federal government shutdown. And using the debt ceiling to try and force serious negotiations, because it seems to me that the president is happy to just leave things sort of as they are. He got his tax cut, his tax increases on the 1%. So I think the Republicans are generally doing the right thing, but they needed to try and engage the president and the Democrats in negotiations much sooner. I mean, we've got 12 days now before government shutdown, and just yesterday the House Republicans unveiled their proposal to replace Obamacare, which I think is critical. You can't just repeal it. You need to replace it. The problem for our team, John, is they've been divided among themselves. Some of the Republicans want to force a fight over Obamacare, and some don't. And now we've got 12 days left before the government shutdown. It's going to be all rushed and confused.
Well, should they cry uncle, or should they push it?
They should push it. I just wish they would have. I would love to see them put force the president to agree to a schedule of real negotiations. It takes time to negotiate an agreement, like on how
see,
to.
But here's why I don't think that's going to happen, Chris, because unlike Bill Clinton, or unlike Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama doesn't want an agreement, doesn't want to hammer out a deal. He didn't want to hammer out a compromise on health care reform. He's avoided the whole issue of tax reform, which is the one thing that, frankly, Republicans and Democrats probably could come to an agreement on, even though it would help the economy. He knows that he's not going to get back the House, and he's concerned about the Senate. The only thing that could change those political fortunes is if something radical were to happen, like a whole new issue was to drop on the table. And for him, that issue, in my opinion, is the Republicans just tried to shut down the government and keep your grandma's check from getting in the mail and food inspectors and long lines at the TSA and national parks are closing. The Republicans did this because of their ideological extremists. And therefore, that is why you need to return a Democratic Senate and you need to give me a Democratic House. I think he's trying to create a crisis because it's the only way he can get more numbers in Congress. And because he's so inept at leading and can't forge a bipartisan coalition the way Reagan and Bill Clinton were able to do, it's his only way to get anything done.
Well, John, I agree with most of what you said. I think that President Obama's legacy would be completely different if he would have embraced the Simpson-Bowles report back in 2009.
He ignored it.
And he ignored it. And the campaign I'm part of wants those principles to be the centerpiece of a big deal on the debt and the deficit. The only way that's going to happen, though, is if both sides are willing to negotiate. And sadly, it appears you're right. I mean, I think the Democrats and the president view this opportunity as a way to do to this generation of Republicans what happened to the Newt Gingrich generation of Republicans. I mean, the Gingrich Congress was brave in trying to force a showdown on spending and shut down the government, but politically it blew up in their face.
Did it really, though?
Well, their poll numbers dropped dramatically,
right,
and they lost a bunch of seats the next election.
No, they didn't lose a bunch. They gained a seat in the Senate, and they lost 8 seats in the House, which ain't that many.
You're right, but before the government shutdown, Bill Clinton looked like he was in real trouble to lose the next election. But at least that's how.
Let's look at what came out of that on the other end, because this is what Republicans who are saying we should push it are saying. Number one, we got welfare reform. Number two, we got some semblance of tax reform. Capital gains tax was cut. Number three, Chris, we got a balanced budget, because the Republican House checked Bill Clinton on the issue of spending. So we end up with a growing economy, welfare reform, and a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. Was it really all so bad?
No, and I agree with you. And John, I think you and I are in complete agreement. I applaud, as I said at the beginning, I applaud the Republicans for pushing on this. If they weren't fighting right now on the debt ceiling and on the continuing resolution, then there would be no real discussion about our fiscal crisis right now. They are forcing the issue, and that's a good thing, because I think the president would be very happy to just routinely raise the debt ceiling and keep going farther in debt. I just wish that they had left more time for real negotiations before the deadline, but well, maybe we will have this crisis, and then that will lead to real negotiations heading into January, I hope.
All right.
Fix the debt has to be a little less cynical. We keep pushing for Republicans and Democrats to work together and hope it's going to happen.
So what Democrats here in Washington State are helping you?
Well, no one's specifically helping anybody. a few years ago, there was a vote on the floor to implement the Simpson-Bowles report. Rick Larson actually voted for that. We applauded Patty Murray for trying to form a budget conference this summer that did not work. We certainly don't like Senator Murray's budget, which relies on nothing but tax increases. But when you meet with members of Congress on this, they'll all tell you, oh, yes, we're all very concerned about the debt, but it's the other side's fault. And so it goes. They just continue to yell at each other rather than negotiate.
Chris Vance, great having you here. Thanks for making the time.
You bet, John.
All right, that is Chris Vance from fixthedebt.org. I'm telling you, it as much as there are public-spirited people who want to get together, hammer out a deal, it ain't going to happen. And it's not because of Republicans. It's because Obama wants to shut the government down. Obama understands that he's going to lose, and he's going to lose big in the midterm elections. The only thing that can change that is a radical change in the political climate. The man needs to create a crisis. And the crisis is the Republicans just shut down the government. Look what they've done to you. And, you know, of course, they'll be heavy on demonization. They shut down the government. Not because of Obamacare, not because of the debt, not because there was no attempt to compromise from the other side. They shut down the debt because of a small ideological band of extremists who've hijacked their party. That is what he will say. And he will say this because he is desperate, because he's inept. He's inept. He can't lead. All he can do is give speeches. You know, it's easy to give a speech, and frankly, it's easy to govern when times are great and money is rolling in to government coffers. But when times are lean, when you've got shortfalls, you got deficits, and you need to sit down and hammer out a deal with the other party, which Reagan did, which Clinton did, didn't want to, but did, Obama can't. He doesn't have the skills. And moreover, because he's a smart guy and he could develop the skills if he set his mind to it, he's not going to set his mind to it because he's not interested. He's not even interested in I don't think he likes members of Congress, doesn't like other politicians. He'd rather hang out with celebrities. He doesn't like socializing with members of Capitol Hill. There's Democratic senators, haven't talked to him in years. So he doesn't have the skill set or the interest to work with his own party in Congress, let alone the other party in Congress. So what does he do? He holds speeches and calls names. That's all. And, you know, maybe he could have gotten away with that in 2009 when he had a massive Democrat majority in the House and Senate and when he had the public on his side. He doesn't have that anymore. The Republicans have the House. The Democrats are barely holding on to the Senate. Most people think they'll lose it in 2014. And the American people are no longer paying attention. Maureen Dowd, uber-liberal columnist for the New York Times, put it best. She said, Obama's lost the room. So he doesn't have what is necessary to get what he wants. And so he's trying to think of a way to create a crisis so he can demonize the other side and get back a congressional majority so he can get more of these things done that he wants to do to grow the government. You're listening to The Commute with Carlson, coming up on 11 and a half minutes to 7 o'clock. Good morning, everybody.